This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. It's Friday, so that means we bring together our news panel. Let's welcome into the show Megan Gilmore and Michelle McQuigg. Hey, good morning, Megan. And hello, Michelle. Now, do we have Megan on mute, or does Megan have Megan on mute? Yeah.
Good morning.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of these days.
I heard rumors of tech gremlins. I wasn't sure if one got you, Megan, but
it's gremlins, it's raccoons, it's squirrels, it's beavers, whatever kind of animal or rodent can be found, both mythical and realistic. They are in and around 1090 Don Mills, but that's okay. We press on and we move forward with our news panel, guys, where we've got three topics to discuss. We've actually got a bunch of topics, but sort of three overall headings that all relate to COVID-19. So let's jump right into our first one, and that's paid sick leave, which has been a push and pull between several provinces and the federal government for months. It has come to a head in two provinces this week. Ontario will give all workers 3 paid sick days to help employees take time off to self-isolate during the pandemic. Labour Minister Monty McNaughton announced the measures after months of intense pressure from experts and advocates. He says the government has always urged people to stay home if they're sick, but that's not always easy.
If a scratchy throat or a simple sneeze meant they could lose a day's pay or more, some people were reluctant to stay home. This should never happen, and it ends now.
McNaughton says the province will reimburse employers up to $200 a day for what they pay out through the program. In British Columbia, their labor minister says a flawed federal sick leave plan has left the province trying to come up with a program of its own. Harry Bain says the government is working with WorkSafe BC to consider the needs of both workers and employers.
How do we ensure that the workers can stay home when they're sick? At the same time, they don't lose pay. And also looking at on the poor side, they're hurting right now. How do we make sure that we don't put economic burden on them as much either? I think in coming days, we will have a solution to ensure that the workers don't have to choose between a paycheck or staying home when they're sick.
Labor groups are calling on BC to provide between 10 and 14 days of paid sick leave every year beyond COVID-19. Michelle, you expressed interest in tackling this topic. Why did you want to do so?
I did. And there's a lot that I find interesting about this. And it's not just because it's hugely timely, although it is. There's some more history in Ontario is that the Liberal government had introduced a handful of paid sick days when it was in power. And the legislation that made that possible was among many pieces that were dismantled when the Doug Ford government took power in 2018. This particular issue has clearly come back to bite them. No one obviously could have anticipated the circumstances that we're currently in. But there was a lot of hue and cry about the scrapping of sick days at the time. And now, of course, it's mounted. Interesting tidbits in Ontario is that its own science advisory table was saying you need to include paid sick days because workplaces are a crucial breeding ground for community spread. And it's only until this week that any kind of action has been taken, essentially reinstating the 3 days the Liberals had, although there may have been some different terms in place. And it's already being widely panned because, of course, workers are quite often asked to self-isolate for a whole lot longer than 3 days if there's a suspected exposure, let alone an actual one. And in BC, what I find interesting there is the push and pull that you alluded to off the top, Dave. The BC government basically admitted that they were sitting there waiting to see what the feds would do before they would act at all. And then once the federal budget dropped without any paid sick leave program, they started kicking up a bit of a fuss about that. So I find the whole issue interesting in terms of where does one land on this? I feel like this is one area where a more interesting and substantial conversation has been opened up directly as a result of COVID, but I don't know if we're any closer to any sort of solutions. I wonder about jurisdiction. There's a lot to plow through here.
Jurisdiction's a huge part of it. We had Craig Oliver on talking about this on Wednesday in his politics segment, and he did rightly point out that a lot of labor issues do fall underneath provincial jurisdiction. So even in a time when we've seen when we've seen some federal overreach during the pandemic, although it was oftentimes overreach that was asked for by the provinces, it does create a bit of a tricky situation. But I do want to start with the politics side of this, because this is a very human story. It does impact people in a very human way. So as a result, Megan, how do you think that people are feeling about governments pointing fingers at each other when there's basically been 13 months of inaction on this matter?
I think it looks like another kind of inaction. So instead of coming up with a solution or listening to advice that you were given long before, or maybe just, as Michelle pointed out, at least in Ontario, maybe keeping some previous legislation, you're pointing fingers at another government. And on the ground, when people are going about their day-to-day lives, I don't think people are very cognizant of the differences between provincial and federal jurisdiction and how that impacts their day-to-day life. Like, that's not typically what people are thinking about when they're walking around during the day. So you do have to meet people where they are. And quite frankly, I wouldn't, to be honest, give a hoot about this provincial federal tangle that's going on if I need a sick day. I just want a sick day. So I feel like, again, it just alienates people, and they're going to say this is more an action.
Alienation is an interesting word to use there, Megan, because I'm inclined to agree with you in the sense that it might have people feeling even more disconnected from the politicians. So, Michelle, I offer you a similar style question in regards to that finger pointing. Is this something that people really want to see when there's been an action for 13 months?
I'm sure they don't. I actually think Megan's exactly right. The people who are most heavily impacted by this probably don't care exactly how it happens, as long as it does and as long as it's seamless. And it's been interesting. It's not seamless, for one thing. There's push and pull between the provincial program that's due to be set up in Ontario and the federal one. And I'm still a little unclear as to the exact nature of the relationship between them and who's topping up who and exactly what. But some other labor groups have run some numbers and determined that, in fact, those who earn minimum wage are probably going to wind up worse off if they take the Ontario program than if they take the federal one. And again, we have to remember that these are supposed to be things that are used fairly spontaneously. You wake up, you feel lousy, you call in. If you have to negotiate a maze of paperwork and bureaucracy to take a sick day, that may well defeat the purpose, because I suspect a lot of people are simply going to say, no, I can't. I can't be bothered. I can't take the risk of losing the money, and I can't be bothered of jumping through all these hoops.
Let's talk about the number of sick days, because, Michelle, as you mentioned, some critics said that the 3 days in Ontario was not enough. I mentioned that some British Columbia labor groups are suggesting 10 to 14 days might be the appropriate number. And certainly we are not health experts. We can all put that on the front end. But I think we do have a sense of how many days a year we feel under the weather. So, Megan, what do you think? What should that appropriate number of sick days be? Is there a sweet spot?
I'm sure there is, and I'm also confident that I'm not the best person to try to figure out what it is. I think there's a lot of different things in play here. One of a factor that we haven't talked about as much yet right now is unions. So if workers are unionized or if they're not unionized, that also impacts the number of sick days that you have, depending on what your collective bargaining agreements are, if you have one. I think that we should have two different programs, okay? So I think there should be the standard baseline number of sick days that you have regardless, and then a special pandemic program. Because let us be clear, this a new proposal in Ontario, it's legislation that has been introduced, I believe it has not been passed yet, is just until the end of September. This doesn't really solve anything, in my opinion. So I think, like, my gut reaction is probably like two or three, like, so standard ones, and then you would create something special for a pandemic situation.
Yeah, we'll look forward in just a moment as well, Megan. You're right to identify that, because we should at least pose that question of whether or not paid sick days should be something on the agenda moving forward past the pandemic. But Michelle, I want to kind of toss the same question to you about the appropriate number. To me, it's probably somewhere in the realm of 7 to 10 days. Probably 7 to 10 days might be sort of the compromise area for me. But what do you think?
That's exactly where I land as well. And I also think that perhaps there's could be some adjustment, and maybe it's, you know, 4 or 5 for a part-timer, moving up a little bit as your number of hours in a given job increase.
Mm, yeah, that's fair.
So that's where I land. We're on the same page with that. 3 days does not strike me as adequate, although I understand that's being offered as a baseline. I do think, I'm going to preempt your question a little bit, that this is definitely something that ought to be in place beyond the pandemic, not just in the event of other future pandemics either, just to deal with life. And sick days, let's not forget, even though none of us have to deal with sick children and whatnot, sometimes people have to take sick days in order to care for others, not mm-hmm. just themselves. Mm-hmm. So there are whole other factors that I think make it a compelling piece of policy that people should be exploring. And like I said before, were in fact implementing even before the pandemic on a much smaller scale.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. My instinct is the same way. It's a matter of respect to workers who do the work. To offer them paid sick days moving forward beyond a pandemic makes a lot of sense. I'll never forget one of the worst colds I've ever had back in 2011. Came from an employee at a coffee shop who coughed all over my coffee as she was serving me because she couldn't take a sick day. And I looked around and I saw, you know, 20 other people in line who were also going to be served by her. And you know, okay, I don't mean to necessarily blame it on her, but she coughed on my coffee, and candidly, I shouldn't have drank it. That's on me, but it's coffee. Need my
right,
coffee.
But she might have had so many reasons that she did come into work.
100%.
Like, to illustrate the point.
That's
right?
It. So like that's it. When I say like she coughed on my coffee, I don't blame her like as a person for making me sick. It's the policy that forced her into a situation where she couldn't take the day off. She even apologized. She's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm really sick." I'm like, "Yeah, I know. It's brutal." But Megan, looking forward, is this a policy that we need to be looking at implementing full time?
Yes, on some level, there should be something available for people. And I understand that there, as Michelle was pointing out, you would want there to be different versions for like part-time workers, full-time workers, and then we also have to include a conversation about CBAs and like collective bargaining agreements and how that works into this. But yeah, people need sick days, not just for them, but for their families. And if we're going to continue to say that one of the things we've learned through the pandemic is the need to be respectful of people's personal lives and how that impacts their work and their home and family situations. So whether that was caring for family members or helping kids with online schooling, then you need to have policies that actually reflect that you've learned something.
Yeah, but being able to take a sick day is definitely part of the work-life balance. There's no doubt about that one. Thank you both for your perspective on this one. Coming up next, long-term care homes remain top of mind when discussing COVID-19. Some provinces are amending policies impacting residents. We'll look at a swath of stories across the country. This is the Now News Panel on AMI. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.